Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back! Today is Monday, January 7th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, the international sensation, Dr. Dick. That would be me. And I'm so glad the holidays are over, aren't you? And it's great to be back here in front of the microphone. I missed y'all. I really did. But I must confess, I did like the 2 weeks off. This, our very first podcast of the brand new year, is brought to you by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com, a one-stop place to shop for all those adult things you've been hankering for. Of course, you'll find a full line of top-quality toys, implements, fetish kits, and sexy lingerie, but that's not what makes them so damn special. What makes them extraordinary is that they have a social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. The site is chock full of tips for the consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and even a community blog. In fact, you'll find everything you need to make an intelligent choice before you make your purchase. Look for the link to this amazing site right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Eden Fantasies makes shopping fun and easy, but there's more. You can stay on top of what's new and receive a heads up on special deals and limited promotions by signing up for their monthly newsletter. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit Eden Fantasies today. Sex toys and props, just a click away. I have a really great show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup, darling. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent today is Ashley. She's 23 and she writes from Toronto, Canada. Hey there. This is kind of awkward to be asking this question. I wanted to know how to squirt, like in porn. Do you know how? I can't find this friggin' information anywhere. Aren't you supposed to be able to find everything on the internet? Hey, thanks for dropping by, Ashley. Yes, you are supposed to find everything on the internet. And you've come to the right place for the answer to your query. In fact, I've responded to several similar questions already. Here's a tip, sex fans. When in doubt, check the category sections on the right-hand side of DrDickSexAdvice.com. You will probably find that I have already answered most of your questions. All you have to do, Ashley, is look for all my postings and podcasts that feature the G-spot, or female ejaculation. But let me save you the trouble right this minute. The kind of squirting you refer to, the porn kind, is all fake, darling. I know it's hard to believe that pornographers would falsify something as important as this, but they do. It only goes to show you that one ought never rely on porn for one's sex information or education. Porn is strictly for entertainment. It has very little, if any, educational value. I mean, all you have to do is think about it for a moment to realize it couldn't possibly be true. Like, where would all that liquid for all those gushers be stored in a chick's body anyway? The producers of this kind of porn do a sleight of hand, if you could call it that. They have the female actress fill her vagina with water, and on command, she squeezes her pussy muscles to produce the waterworks. It's all edited together to create the illusion that this is somehow an orgasmic response. But that's not to say that some women don't ejaculate. They do, just not like in the porno movies. Let's start with a little background. The G-spot, or Grafenberg spot, after the physician who wrote about it first, is a small area of spongy tissue just behind the front wall of the vagina, between the back of the pubic bone and the cervix. This is analogous tissue to the male prostate. In fact, the G-spot is sometimes referred to as the female prostate. But like most things sexual, particularly if it has to do with female sexuality, there is a lot of debate. Is the G-spot the same thing as a female prostate? I don't know. I tend to steer clear of all those debates as much as possible. What I can tell you for sure is that during early fetal development, both male and female fetuses start out being physically female. This does not change until the male fetus begins to produce its own hormones around the 8th week of gestation. Only then does the physical development of the male and female bodies diverge. Of course, this necessitates that all female fetuses initially have structures that could possibly develop into male reproductive and sexual organs. This means the tissues that develop into the male prostate gland must also be present in women. Get it? Many women report that their G area is more sensitive to stimulation than other parts of their vagina. To find your very own G-spot, put two fingers in your pussy and curve them upwards, like toward your belly. Now, stroke that area with a come here motion. Feel that? That's your G-spot, darling. How fun is this? Fingering yourself like this will probably be more pleasurable if you are already aroused. Some women, as I have suggested above, have orgasms and or ejaculate from G-spot stimulation. But not all women ejaculate, and not all women find G-spot stimulation pleasurable. Wouldn't you just know it? Some women report they feel like they need to pee when their G-spot is being stimulated. Therefore, I suggest that before you go rooting around in your pussy looking for your G-spot, that you completely empty your bladder. Oh, and make sure your fingers are well lubricated throughout the exploration, even if you have a lot of your own vaginal lubrication. If you want to hit your G-spot while fucking, may I suggest you try the woman on top cowgirl position or doggy position. These are best because your partner's dick will be better situated to hit the front wall of your pussy. Guys, most women need firmer pressure to the front of their pussies to have their G-spot orgasm. This might be best accomplished by quick strokes and a lot of deeper friction. Like I mentioned, G-spot stimulation can cause you to ejaculate a small amount of white or clear fluid. Some women produce more ejaculate than others, but just remember, those gushers, the ones you see in the porno movies, they're faked for your viewing pleasure. If you're looking for a swell how-to guide, check out Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and look for Nina Hartley's Guide to Female Ejaculation. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Troy. Unfortunately, we don't know how old he is or where he lives. But he writes, "Sir, my girlfriend and I have been together for over 2 years. She sometimes has experienced that her clit gets sore after we mess around. She also felt some pain when we had sex, not right away, but later on, almost like muscle soreness. She has had regular gyno visits with no problems. I am wondering if I could be too big for her. Do we need to increase the amount of lube we are using? Is there a limited number of times we should have sex in a weekend? Thank you. Holy cow, what kind of messing around are you guys doing? So let me get this straight. Your girlfriend sees her gyno on a regular basis and there is no discernible problem in Pussyville. That's a good thing. But after she hooks up with you for a little slap and tickle, her clit is very tender and she reports muscle soreness afterwards as well. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and speculate you puppies are kind of new at the whole fucking thing, right? Let's see. Are you actively involved with her clit, with your hands or mouth, or is this post-fuck tenderness simply collateral damage of your pounding away with wild abandon? I mean, do you even know your way around down there? Or are you just one of those drop trow and commence the assault kind of guys? The fact that you don't even know if you're using enough lube leads me to believe that you've got a lot to learn. You see, the reason I say this is for the most part, most youngins and a whole lot of not-so-young people don't often take the time to familiarize themselves with the parts of their partners before sex. I mean, there may be a lot of athletic bumping around and all, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know what the fuck you're doing. And here's another disturbing trend. A lot of young men are unfortunately picking up some of their sexual social skills, if you can call them that, from watching pornography. And that, my friend, is never a good thing. Young women, on the other hand, often remain too embarrassed or uninformed themselves about their own parts to invite even a steady boyfriend to stop by for a moment and get to know their personal cooch. Each woman is unique, you know. So you see how all of this lack of familiarity and perhaps even misinformation can cause loads of problems for novice fucksters. But the solution is very simple. Indeed, all you have to do is know yourself and know your partner. One thing for sure, if you are swinging as big a pipe as you lead me to believe, it's incumbent upon you to know how to handle that thing when fooling around with a delicate flower that is a woman's muff. I suggest you have a nice long talk with your girlfriend someday real soon. Make it a non-seductive, non-sexual conversation. Ask her to show you around the promised land. Have her point out all the really exciting points of interest, and there are a whole lot of them. You'll be amazed. If you think your dick is talented, let me tell you, pal, it pales in comparison to a vagina. Besides, this little exercise will give you loads of brownie points with your girlfriend. You'll also be vastly more informed about pussy in general and therefore a much better lover. Allow me to walk you through an actual structured exercise I have some of my clients, with similar problems as you guys, work on. It's called a sexological exam. You see, I never assume that a woman is familiar with her own genitals, let alone having her partner know what's up down there. So I have my couples work together on this exercise. By the way, a woman can do this on her own, a self-sexological exam, or she can work with a partner. Think about it. It's a perfect way for you guys to learn about your own and one another's naughty bits, as well as getting a handle on your sexual response cycles. Here's how it works. Your girlfriend will hold a handheld mirror between her legs. Have her point out her clit, vulva, vagina, both sets of vaginal lips, urethra, and if you have a speculum handy, you guys can check out her cervix. Next, probe her vagina by inserting one of your fingers. Remember, this is not a come on for sex. This is an exercise to gather important information about how things look and work down there. With your finger in her vagina, ask her to flex her PC muscle. If you guys don't know what that is, you have some remedial work ahead of you. Look for all the postings I have made about Kegel exercises to get the lowdown on the PC muscle. What you guys will be looking for in this part of the exercise is your girlfriend's ability to identify and control her vaginal muscles. Next comes a detailed touch test. I want you to stroke every square inch of your girlfriend from her asshole to her navel, including her upper thighs. You are going to be testing for and acquainting yourself with her sensitivity. I suggest your girlfriend use a 0 to 5 point scale to represent the levels of sensitivity. 5 being the hottest, most sensitive, and most pleasurable areas, and 0 being the more neutral areas. Be sure to use all the numbers in between. I encourage you guys to try this exercise with both a wet hand and a dry hand. Next, it's your turn to submit your body to your girlfriend's scrutiny. With the handheld mirror between your legs, point out your prepuce, if you have got one, frenulum, glands, colonal ridge, scrotum, testicles. Have her slip a finger in your ass. Now flex your PC muscle for her. Yes, darling, you have a PC muscle too. Then she'll use the same technique on you that you did on her. She'll stroke every square inch of you from your asshole to your navel, including your upper thighs. She will be testing for and acquainting herself with your sensitive areas. Using the same 0 to 5 point scale to represent the levels of sensitivity as she did, 5 being hottest, most sensitive, most pleasurable areas, and 0 being the more neutral ones, as well as all the numbers in between. Again, try this exercise with both a dry and a wet hand. By the time you guys have finished this exploration exercise, both of you will have a much greater appreciation of the wonders of her amazing cunt and your fabulous cock. You'll know the areas that need special care and attention. You'll also know the kind of touch that is most appropriate for each specific area. But most importantly, you will realize that mindlessly poking and prodding away down there like a blind man with a stick is not how one goes about a successful fuck. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Alrighty then, next we hear from Ralph, who is 57. We don't know where he lives, but he writes, "Dear Dr. Dick, I have a couple of questions about fisting. I've never found it an enticing practice, either from a give or take perspective. However, it seems to amuse many. What I know of it comes from pornography, and I realize that it is less than realistic. 1. Physically, doesn't it result in a loss of sphincter control and leave you leaky? 2. From film, it appears that when the fist is removed, there is a flash of pink. The mucosa lining of the rectum, I presume. doesn't this A, expose the area to drying and airborne bacteria, etc.? And B, isn't there also a risk of pulling the walls of the rectum away from their connective tissue and leave it prolapsed, hanging out of the anus? 3. It also does not seem to be an activity that promotes intimacy. What kind of emotional need can it fill? It seems totally desod. Hey, Ralph. I have one thing to say to you. De gustibus non disputantum est. That's right. For those not fluent in Latin, that means things of taste should never be disputed. It's as simple as that, my friend. If you're not into fist fucking, as neither a fucker or a fucky, why would you want to set yourself up as the arbiter of what promotes intimacy and what doesn't? Doesn't seem like it's any of your freaking business, not being involved in the scene and all. You know, lots of folks in the red hanky land believe fisting is the ultimate intimate experience. I'm not a practitioner myself. It's simply not my thing. But I know several devotees who are passionate about the practice, and they swear by it. And I tend to leave it right there. I certainly don't condescend and use things like amuse, like you do. It's not my business to second-guess them, and I have very little first-hand, no pun intended, experience to make judgment calls about the meaning it has for those who see it as an art form. But since you raised some other interesting issues, I do feel comfortable offering a comment or two about those. First, I advise you and everyone else, for that matter, not to get your sex information or education from porn. Porn is strictly for entertainment. It has very little, if any, educational value. Trying to understand extreme sexual practices like fisting by watching porn is like trying to understand extreme sports from watching Jackass the movie. That's not to say that one cannot find instructional videos about a vast variety of sexual interests. There are loads of them out there. In fact, all you have to do is mosey on over to Dr. Dick's how-to video library to get an appreciation of the huge assortment. You'll find this great resource by clicking on the Video on Demand tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. As you suggest, fisting can and often does result in a loss of sphincter control and can leave a fisting bottom leaky. Of course, it doesn't have to happen. True fisting enthusiasts know how to care for their hole. They know how to keep the musculature tight and firm. And certainly, there are other health and safety concerns as well, but wouldn't you expect there to be, considering the elevated risks involved in this extreme behavior? I know I would. Just like there are elevated risks in certain other activities that have a high level of inherent danger or difficulty. Spectacular speed, enormous heights, death-defying levels of physical exertion or endurance, and spectacular stunts? They're all way beyond my comprehension, but others groove on it big time. All of them involve a much higher risk than I'm comfortable with, but that's just the point, isn't it? Aficionados of the extreme argue that this is precisely why they participate in these activities. So yes, worries about drying and airborne bacteria and prolapsed rectums are part of the territory. But the wise fister has considered these concerns ahead of time and is conscientious about minimizing the danger. So you don't have to worry your little head about any of this ever again. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, today we have Jayrol, Jayrol, who's 25, writes from Washington, D.C. Hey, I hope you respond. My name is Jayrol, and I am a homosexual male. However, I've never had a sexual relationship with a male, and I never plan to. It's not that I'm ashamed or that I have some type of self-hatred for myself. I just think that my personality and ideals best suit a straight life. I want kids and the whole white picket fence thing. But my whole problem is, doctor, that women don't sexually attract me at all. You don't say. I've always had a girl, but I can never seem to perform. Girls respect me when I say I want to wait for marriage, but the truth is, I can't get it up. Is there anything I can do about that? Maybe Viagra or something? Or should I just give up on the American dream? Yikes! Where to begin? It's like I'm having some scary flashback from the 70s. This is the kind of question I used to hear back then. Where have you been, pup? Haven't you noticed the changes in attitudes over the last 30-plus years? Okay, so you're only 25, but that means you've lived your entire life in a world that has reaped the benefits of the labors of all the queer folk who have gone before you. You're making an unnecessary dichotomy. Nowadays, one doesn't need to choose between having a family and living out and proud, darling. Haven't you seen Will and Grace? Or The Ellen Show? Okay, so Will and Grace was totally lame, and Ellen is, well, Ellen. But pup, surely you've noticed that you can be a big fat homo and still have all the things you want. Kids, white picket fence, the whole kit and caboodle. And you can do it with a husband, life partner, or whatever else you want to call your queer lover. You certainly don't have to lie about who you are, trap yourself and some unlucky woman in a sexless marriage just to be a trendy suburbanite? Holy cow, wake up and smell the coffee. Unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, I can't imagine that you haven't noticed that gay men and lesbians are marrying in some states and having their partnerships legally recognized in others. In fact, countries all over the world are legally recognizing gay and lesbian unions and marriages. We've been having families, raising children, our own biological spawn and or those we've adopted, for years and years now. The world is a-changin', don't you know? People's attitudes are changing. All you have to do is search them internets for the gay parenting thing and find out how many resources there are out there for breeder-minded mo's like you. Listen, doll, you don't need no Viagra. You just need to be honest with yourself and those around you. You say you're not ashamed of who you are, that you don't have some type of self-hatred for yourself. Well, I'm sorry, dear, but I don't buy that for 1 minute. Anyone who is willing to sacrifice his life as a sexual being to deceive others into thinking he is an honorable man by doing so, just so that he can procreate, is either emotionally crippled or completely delusional. How could you have gotten to be a 25-year-old queer dude without ever getting any queer sex? Sorry, but that simply doesn't add up. And what kind of husband and father would you be if you started a family built on a lie? Did you miss the whole Senator Craig debacle? That's the kind of miserable, closeted existence that awaits anyone who would deny himself his true identity, for whatever reason. political gain, social acceptance, religious intolerance, or making a family. And think of the emotional and physical misery you would be inflicting on the mother of your children. Could you be any more selfish? Here's a tip, pup. Grow up and then grow yourself a pair of cojones. You'll need them not only for the spawning, but to live authentically and truthfully. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. Listen up, you guys. At EdenFantasies.com, you have the unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about all the swell adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and customer education. Their site has developed an online community of product reviewers and editorial staff, fantasy contributors, and renowned sexperts, including yours truly, Dr. Dick. In fact, I am happy to announce that my handy-dandy guide to penis puns for men and those who put up with us is now available online at EdenFantasies.com. Look for the guides and tips page, click on the guides. You will find me there along with a whole lot of other insightful contributors who provide a wealth of information about topics ranging from BDSM to the G-spot. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under health subcategory sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.